The Enneagram 5, known as the Investigator. Fives are alert, insightful, and naturally curious. They're able to concentrate deeply on developing complex ideas and skills. Independent, innovative, and inventive, they can also become preoccupied with their thoughts and imaginary constructs. They have a tendency to become detached, high-strung, and intense. They typically have problems with eccentricity, nihilism, and isolation. Their key motivations are a want to possess knowledge, to understand their environment, and to have everything figured out in a way of defending themselves against threats within that environment. Welcome to the Enneagram Unplugged, the podcast where we sit down to spend some quality time with someone from each number on the Enneagram. Through questions and shared personal experiences, we hope that this show will leave you feeling more connected, encouraged, and enlightened as you continue along your Enneagram journey. We're your hosts, Ashley Danner
and Kristen Steed.
Huge fans of the Enneagram, friends and coworkers here at Christ United. Please feel free to always reach out to us if you have any questions about our show.
And today we get to sit down with Jordan Jackson, Director of Student Ministries for First UMC Capel, and an Enneagram 5. Welcome, Jordan.
Hello, hello. I'm excited to be here.
Yay.
Kind of.
Right. I love reaching out to the different numbers because, you know, some numbers are just pumped to talk about themselves. And other numbers are more hesitant to talk about themselves. And it's its own kind of research into the Enneagram Unplugged.
Yes. True. Yes. It's always so interesting just to get that perspective too.
My biggest struggle was like, I didn't want to be labeled. I didn't want to accept that I was a five because I was like admitting that I am not unique and special. Things that people don't know. So that was, I've only been looking at this type five Enneagram stuff since you asked me to do this podcast.
Awesome. Well, that's great.
So I've been researching it relentlessly since then. So,
which is your strong suit. So I'm not fearful at all.
Good.
Yeah, that's great. Do you know, just when you said the uniqueness, just out of curiosity, do you know your wing? Have you...
Yeah, that was a fun one. I'm a 5-6.
Okay.
I like the problem solving.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Awesome. Well, as we first start to dive in, could you give us just a little overview about the 5 and how long you've been? Well, I guess you just told us for about a week now you've been investigating the Enneagram.
Yeah, so we had a pastor at the church name was Katie Newsom, and she was talking about Enneagram stuff a few years back, and I was like, I have no idea what this is. So I read the little blurb about it because piqued my interest, and then she had a book, and I read most of the book about it, and then figured out through the book that I'm obviously a type 5 because something piqued my interest, and then I decided to research it by reading the book. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then I read it, and I was like, I hate everything about this, which probably means it is me.
It's usually how it goes. That is literally usually how it goes.
And so I remember, like, in talking to my wife about it, and then she read it to our, like, we were sitting at the dinner table with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and she's reading about a type five, and I felt like so naked and exposed when she was reading about what a type five is. And I was like, so this is definitely the confirmation that I am this number. The journey was actually not necessarily eye-opening because everything you read is kind of like, oh yeah, I hit. But like, it was very painful in a lot of ways because I just didn't want to admit. And I didn't like the fact that people can read a type five and know what I'm about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could you explain a little more about what you're about?
About what I'm about? Yeah. So type five, sorry, I didn't answer your question.
Oh, no
so
problem.
Type fives they're the investigator, right? They're the type of person that really loves figuring out problems, figuring out answers. You know, we feel very confident whenever we have a lot of information. You know, I personally, type five, know a whole little about a whole lot. So yeah, I can talk to anybody about anything for about 10 minutes, which is good in the social situation, which is ironic because I don't like social situations, but I feel confident in a social situation because I can talk to anyone about anything for about 10 minutes. And if
you know
I didn't
enough
have
to be
that,
dangerous,
I know enough to be dangerous, you know, and that's how I found my confidence. That's how I found my almost like worth is knowing information. And some areas I know a whole lot more, but most areas I just know a little bit because I'm kind of like an expert in something for about 2 weeks. Like I'll get interested in trees or I'll get interested in how things are made. And I mean, the other day I was wondering, when you're making sterilized medical equipment, do you make it in a sterile environment or do you make it in a clean environment and sterilize it later? And I couldn't find the information online, so I had to call a company and ask them.
Wow. Wow.
I love that so much.
So, like, that's what it means to be a type 5. Like, you just need to know, and if you can't figure it out, then you have to figure it out.
What was the answer? I feel like I need to know. Do they sterilize it afterwards?
So I called 3M, and it took a while to get someone that could answer my question. And I was relentless, and finally they answered it. And so, yeah, they do make it in a clean environment. But to keep a whole warehouse or like manufacturing plant sterile is way more expensive than keeping a certain area, the manufacturing process, sterile. So they make
that
it in a clean environment, sterilize it later.
Knowledge we didn't know. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. You're for welcome. That. So we've heard a little bit about your journey to discovering your type. You said it felt obvious to you. Was there any other number that perhaps you looked at briefly or what? So
yeah,
it was
so
truly obvious or?
Yeah. When I read the book that I got from Katie, you know, you kind of read all of them. And so once I read the type five, yeah, it was very obvious. And because I said that's the one that I hated the most. So, which is why I was like, I guess that makes sense that it's me. But it's interesting the fact that I think I get labeled differently by a lot of people. And that's definitely because of the job that I have. If I didn't, if I wasn't in student ministry, then I would be a completely different person. You know, I would probably be labeled the enthusiast by a lot of people. A lot of people don't know that I'm an introvert. They see me as an extrovert, fun-loving, kind of whimsical, which is kind of an aspect of a five. You can be very whimsical in a lot of ways if you're in your good spots. But because of what I do, like I have to speak in front of people and I have to be enthusiastic and engaging and kind of like, hey guys, what's going on? And like talk to people on a regular basis. And so if I didn't have to do that, I would never do that.
How do you feel at the end of the day then? Does that expend a lot of your energy? I read a lot about the social energy and the fives getting used up quickly.
Yeah. So it's so bad. it's not so bad like at work, because, you know, hanging out with the kids is usually about an hour to 2 hours in the day. So I can either prepare before or prepare afterwards, usually before. You know, when I was single and living by myself, bachelor, in a house, it wasn't a big deal I could do it whenever I needed to, but I had to switch it up once I got married because like, I didn't want to come home and be a bump on a log with my wife. I mean, I did a couple of times, but it was not good for us. So I had to like learn to build up my energy and save my energy before the event or what was going on. So that when I came home, I wasn't just like, I need to go by myself. But the hardest thing is like after going on a mission trip or an overnight something where it's like weeks at a time. My first year working in Coppell, we had a church camp that we do, and it's 14 days. So for 14 days, I have to be like on it. So when I come home after that, like my wife, is very understanding. It was like, hey, go take a nap and don't talk to anyone. And I'm like, God, I love you so much. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I feel like 14 days would be a lot even for an extroverted person. Like, that's a lot of time. So, yeah, I can imagine. So what do you see out of your number that you feel like you get to use every day in your role, or that helps you solve problems, or how do you feel like that comes out?
So the good thing, so I've been in student ministry like 17 years, which is a pretty long career overall. I think everyone that I remember starting in ministry with is no longer in ministry. I've definitely met youth ministers that have been in it, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. But once you get past like the 5-year mark, like that's a long time. And I think if I wasn't a type 5 and an investigator, then I think I would have been shorter, because, you know, there's not a lot of training in youth ministry. There's not a lot of classes you can take. And especially when I started, there was even less. And so if I didn't spend the time researching and trying to figure out how to do the job and stay in it, then I think I would have been done a long time ago. But because I had that need to know and wanted to have the information so I could feel confident, that's what helped me stay in the job a long time.
That's really interesting. And yeah, I mean, Jordan and I both know a few people in his network, and that's a really interesting kind of juxtaposition there. I hadn't really thought about youth ministry and its resources like that, and how that makes you so good at that position. That's really interesting.
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm good. I'm just tenacious.
Right.
Well, and I'm sure you've had to do some even more, because we're in a weird time. I'm sure you've not done student ministry in quarantine before. So,
I mean, no, but I mean, some people have maybe, but yeah, luckily we get together with all the other youth ministers. We were getting together over Zoom once a week to be like, hey, what do we do? I'm like, what are you doing? Because you're like, you want to know, like, hey, this was my idea. Has anyone else tried it? And if so, did it suck? And if it did suck, how did we fix it? So we were crowdsourcing all of our information for a while, which is helpful.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. So what numbers does a 5 go to in stress and security?
Yeah, so 5s go into like a 7 when they're stressed, and when they're doing well, they kind of go into an 8, which is interesting. I definitely have seen myself go into the 7, but mine's more of a complete reclusiveness. Like, my wife calls it the vault. So like every once in a while, she'd be like, what's in the vault right now? Like, you're in your head about every single thing, and you're not talking about anything, and you're keeping everyone at an arm's distance, and you're only giving superficial information about anything. And, you know, that's when I'm at my probably worst, and I shut everything off. And, she also calls it puttering, because I will do everything that needs to be done that's not the thing that I need to be doing, right? Like, when I was, like, for instance, in college, I had finals to do, my apartment was immaculate. Like, my clothes were all done, my apartment was immaculate, I had cooked a really nice meal, but I didn't do the thing that I needed to do. So I was productive to make me feel better, but I didn't do what I needed to do in my stress.
So you're avoiding...
Correct, but still productive avoiding.
Well, sure, like... right.
So you were just watching TV on the couch or something.
Yeah, it's justification, so to speak.
Yeah, I understand that.
And then in security, you go to 8. So that's a stronger personality. When does that happen for you?
I think it happens most of the time that I am at work in a lot of ways. Sometimes it's a fake until you make it 8, but I can put that on and off whenever I need to. You know, I can come across as kind of self-confident and real knowledgeable and know what I'm talking about, but deep down, I'm just like, yeah, I'm gonna have to research this later. because I don't know exactly what I'm talking about. So, but that's kind of where I see it the most is, and then there's definitely times when like I've researched something in the past and like somebody brings up the topic or brings up the problem or brings up the whatever else. And I'm like, oh, hey, I know this. And so like, yeah, like whenever the dots connect, when I know something and have experienced something and have done something and then that is needed, that's mm-hmm. like an exciting moment for me.
That's a really great description. I felt like that gives us a really good insight into fives when they're going into health too, when all those dots get connected. That's awesome. So the fives wounding message, or the message they receive as a child, is it's not okay to be comfortable in the world. Do you feel like you can easily identify with that as something you either felt in your childhood, whether it was communicated intentionally or not intentionally?
I would say yes and no in a lot of ways. I mean, my father is hyper intelligent. He literally became a lawyer on a whim. Like, yeah, he was in the Marines. His buddies were taking the LSAT, and he was like, and he had a car, so he drove into the thing, and he was like, I think I could be a lawyer. So he literally studied like the night before, and just, or like a couple days before, and then aced it.
What?
Made a better grade than all of his friends who were taking the classes and doing everything else to take it. So he literally, like, who becomes a lawyer on a whim? Like, I don't know anyone that does that. And so he was always pushing us to be ourselves in a lot of ways, but also just learn and take in information, engage and figure things out. And it was the whole being uncomfortable in the world kind of started early for us. Small town Texas, everyone had very thick Texas accents.
Mm-hmm.
But my father didn't allow us to speak with a Texas accent because it made it, in his opinion, makes you sound unintelligent or less intelligent. Wow. So we were kind of forced to not have it. Mine definitely comes out whenever I get tired. Tired.
A little bit.
If I say the word tired, then my wife goes, "Hey, you should go to bed." So yeah, I think it's kind of, that was kind of my first experience with it, and it's true. Like, I often sit in the feeling uncomfortable in the world, on a lot of areas in my life, and it's something you deal with on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's just feeling like you're on the outside, or you don't know enough information to speak, or you haven't taken in as much data as you can. And it definitely, when I'm in my most uncomfortable, is when I'm the most observant. You know, I would probably guess that my wife would say that I'm not observant because I'm comfortable at home. I feel okay at home and I don't need to take in a lot of data and information. And so when mm-hmm. she's trying to give me subtle hints, they just, I mean, it's just like right over my head. Like, like she can drop a hint that she wants a present for 6 months and I'll never get it. But if I was like, and if I was in a stressful situation, I would pick up on it immediately. But comfortable, miss it. Uncomfortable, I catch way too much data.
That's interesting. So I'm reading the a book called The Sacred Enneagram by Christopher L. Wertz. I think I should figure out how to pronounce that last name. But in it, it says, minimalists on the exterior, fives have an interior life as complex as any Enneagram type, which is a great misunderstanding of the fives. So I think that kind of, it sounds like it's saying on the exterior, it looks like you're not that complex, but you've got a lot going on inside that everyone else just can't see with your wheels turning.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That's the vault my wife talks about.
Yeah. Including Jordan, who's on the show, I have another Jordan who's a five and children's emergency room nurse, and very good friends with her and her husband. And it's interesting. I want to see if the same thing kind of happens between you and your wife, Diana, but she will often riddle out a problem or think all the way through something, like a vacation or a decision about a washer or a dryer. And sometimes she will have this whole kind of internal conversation with herself and not realize that she hasn't let someone in on that with her. And then because she thought about it, you know, it's decided or she's figured it out. And so then she's like, well, no, we need to do this. And everyone's like standing around going, did we talk about this? Have we figured this out? And she goes, oh no, I've already figured it out. This like internal unraveling of problems. Is that like a constant thing for you? Do you, does Diana also sometimes go, oh, I thought we were at this bus stop, but we're really at this bus stop. Okay, cool.
Yeah. for sure. And it's something that's, it's not as, is, I'm not as, it doesn't happen all the time, but it's definitely happened. I think, again, marriage is one of those things that's definitely helped me in that. Because I needed to, there's certain decisions that like I need to bring her in on and what we're doing. And I don't mind doing that. It took me the first few years of marriage were very difficult because I was very independent in my head and I kept everyone at arm's length. I mean, for example, I've been a groomsman or a bridesman. I was in almost 20 weddings.
Wow. You could have a movie.
Yeah. pretty, I'm seven away. I'm seven away from 27. And the funny thing is like I would consider I only speak to one of those people still. Like, and I never would even consider those people to be close friends, like never close enough that I should have been invited to their wedding. Which kind of looking back in this whole research thing that I've been doing for the five, it totally makes sense. Like, I meet people, I get to know them. I ask them lots of information about themselves. I help them with their issues and problems and whatever else, but I never reveal anything about myself. I never let them into my life. And so they felt really comfortable and considered me a great friend, but I never got there with them. So it was not reciprocated.
Why do you think you do that? Or why do the fives not reveal themselves?
I think it's just because we have all this data and information and whatever else, and we can be very greedy sometimes with that.
Oh yeah. It talked about, scarcity. There's a fear of scarcity there.
And if we give all that information away, if we give up and let people know who we are, then we lose it and we're afraid we're never going to get it back again. So that's why those first few years of marriage were really hard, because she really wanted to know me and get to be part of my life. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe I knew I needed to do it because I wanted to have that connection with my wife, but like, it was still very difficult to even let her in, even though I made like a commitment before God that I was going to do it. And I also, in my vow, said she could put her cold feet on me for the rest of my life. And I still regret that one. but yeah, so it made it hard. And so I think, you know, we struggle with, so moving through opening up and letting her into my life was made it easier for me to let her in on my decision-making processes as well. So
that's such an interesting perspective, because it kind of seems like you're talking a little bit about vulnerability, but maybe not as much. But it just, you know, it's just, that's why I love the Enneagram, because it's not a perspective that I have on it there on why not to open. I'm a three, so I sometimes have a hard time opening up because more of a, I don't really know myself, or fear that you won't like me if you know me. So I just love hearing all these perspectives when it comes to that.
Yeah.
There's a couple other things that I've heard said about fives that I feel like is true of my other friend, but I want to see if you resonate with these. The first one I think is pretty funny, 'cause it's like the opposite of a twos problem, like almost entirely. is supposedly a five's worst fear is going into a coma and waking up and everyone you know from the different areas of your life is standing around your bed and they've been there talking for a while before you wake up. How do you feel about that?
Not going to sleep tonight. It's like, I didn't know that was my worst fear, but it is moved off the list from being nothing that I've ever thought about to I want to research comas now.
You're welcome for coming onto the podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Surprise, super great. This is a horror podcast.
You bait and switched me, man.
Plot twist. Okay, well, yeah. What scares you about that?
So like, could I hear what they were saying? Am I conscious during my coma? Like, do I know what's going on, but I can't communicate? And if I can't communicate, like, how do I let people know what's going on? I'm just trapped in my own brain, and that's horrible. And then, like, I'm hearing people talk about me and know what's going on, and they're making decisions about my life, and I have no input on it. And what are they saying, and what are they doing, and who are these people? And I don't even like these people that much, and why are they in my room? And, like, I've got sweaty palms right now, man. Like,
so if you're listening and you just got really uncomfortable, you too might be a five.
Yes, Jesus.
A five. Let's move to a positive one. Okay. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yes, we're gonna skip that. So the other thing is that I've heard that fives almost enjoy planning a vacation more than they enjoy going on one, and in the sense of anything, in that the delicious process of thinking through all of the options about something and researching it is almost as good as the actual experience. How do you feel about that idea?
This is an interesting question. I would say yes, but me personally, it's different. Okay. Let me explain. Okay, mm-hmm. So when planning like a mission trip or a youth retreat or whatever else, yes, I love the details and the planning and the doing and getting it all figured out. A struggle that I've had in my personal life is I don't do that for myself. I'll do that for my job. I'll do that for what I need to do, but for my own self, I don't do it. Hmm. And it's put a strain on even my marriage, because my wife wants to go on vacations and stuff. And she's perfectly knows that I have the ability to plan complex and detailed trips that really engage people and whatever else, mm-hmm. but that I don't do that for us, because I've done it for my work, but I don't do it for us. So when I go on vacation, I want somebody else to plan it, and I just want to go and do it. Like, I don't want to do the work for myself, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, by the time you've made it home, you've kind of used up that portion of your energy. And correct. So it's not reserved for the downtime. Yeah, I totally understand correct. That.
Yeah, the experience is definitely part of it. And I think because I was the youngest child, I had to go with the flow a lot and didn't get a lot of say and vote in what was going on. So like, I can go with the flow. When I get in that mode, like, I can just, whatever happens, happens, and I'm good with it. Especially on vacation mode. Like, I can just, even if we like go to the beach and the plan is to sit on the beach and read for 5 days, I'm good to go. Like, I have to wake up, go to the beach, read, sunscreen, drink alcohol, go to bed. Like, done.
That's right.
Let's do this right now.
Yeah.
Like, this is my daydream. So what would you say, in your opinion, is your number superpower? What does your number allow you, what the energy of your number allow you to do that you feel like enhances your life and the lives of those around you?
I don't know. I think it enhances the lives around me. I think other people just find it annoying and don't want to talk to me anymore. my superpower is knowing, like I said, a lot about a little. So my superpower is bar trivia. Like, I'm really good at bar trivia.
I mean, I'd want trivia, you on my team for sure.
Like trivia games, whatever else. Like, I know the most random information that no one should or needs to know, but if somehow I've stored it in my brain. And so I think my superpower is wanting to know more and researching and just, you know, there's different type fives that like really get into one area of expertise and exhaust everything they know about it. And those are the more scholarly, and it all depends on, you know, what resources you have around you and what you want to do with your life and profession. And that's where you kind of go in that direction. And then there's ones that are kind of more in my area that just like want to know as much as they possibly can about as much as they possibly can, you know, like, and so, but the problem is once you've kind of learned something, you move on to the next thing. 'Cause you're like, okay, I've been an expert for 2 weeks. So now I can move on to this other thing and become an expert for this thing for 2 weeks. So I think my superpower is the fact that I'm always like, hey, fun fact. And then I will say fun fact and then give some random information about something. And some people appreciate and some people are like, no one cares, dude. Shut up. Like, my wife is like, cool, fun fact. Yay. But every once in a while, I'll give her one. She's like, oh, that's pretty neat. And I'm like, yes.
Well, and I bet she loves it when you're on trivia teams together. I mean, swoop in and win, you know?
Yeah, she would pick me for that any day. But yeah. But the problem is we're too competitive. Like, there was one time pre-marriage, we stayed up to like 2 o'clock in the morning because I just kept winning phase 10. It was a card game.
Yes.
And like, it was in that mode of like, if I lose on purpose, then it's worse than if I just keep winning. And I just kept winning.
Oh,
and
no.
She would not stop playing until she won. And I was like,
oh, no.
I just want to go to bed.
Out of curiosity, does she know her number?
She started to look into it. I know you're not supposed to label people, but I am 99.9% sure I know what it is. But I'm not going to. She's going to like figure that on her own.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, hey, babe, this is you. And she'd be like, because her number would be like, that is not me. And you can't label me. So.
I respect that.
Yeah.
So for others that of fives that are trying to reach the health of their number, do you have any advice that you can give them from your own experiences?
Yeah, you're gonna have to become self-aware and really self-diagnose where you are and what's going on. Because we can be so cerebral and get in our head so quickly, if we don't self-assess and self-realize what's going on, and if we're stressed or if we're doing well or this is happening or what's not happening and what we're thinking about, then you can easily just get lost in all of that. And so if you don't intentionally take time to process where you are, then you can easily just get swept up and lost. So you have to like, think about what's going on and what's going on in your world and how you're reacting to certain situations so that you can stay in your healthy area, because I think fives can roller coaster so fast, up and down. And to stay at a kind of baseline where you're not roller coastering as much takes a lot of self care.
And as far as like friendship relationships and, you know, romantic relationships, What does your best friend look like? Like, who's a person who really feeds you and feeds that relationship and is someone who sticks around for you?
I would only say, I mean, I think I have a lot of friends, but I have about maybe 4 people in my life that I actually open up to and talk to. Mm-hmm. And truly myself around and don't just superficial everything. And I think building relationships, you can use it one of 2 ways. You can use your relationships to gather more information and data, mm-hmm. or you can use your relationship to finally open up and be yourself and allow other people into your world, because that too can be a learning experience, right? So, you can be superficial with data, or you can be really deep with your data that you're taking in. And the relationships where you're deep with your data, you learn a lot more about who you are and what you really believe than if you just learn with other people who they are and what they really believe. And so I think that's the the two areas for me.
Mm-hmm. Favorite? I think we're going to know the beginning of this, but what is your favorite thing about your number and your least favorite thing about your number?
Favorite thing about my number is obviously I love learning anything. And I think that's my favorite part, is that that's who we are. At our core is just, what can we take in? What can I gather? What can I know? And then being able to connect the dots on things, that's the favorite part. Least favorite part is I don't want to be someone that's superficial, and someone that's not deep and someone that's not caring, but I can easily come across as that. And I know that's who I am, and my heart needs those things, but that's also not who I am. So there's a lot of dichotomy that I go through on a daily basis. And that's the hardest part about being a five for me, is knowing something and wanting something and they don't match.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah. The chapter, that I'm reading talked a lot about reality, and what's going on and what's not a reality. And I had a little bit of a hard time understanding, but I think how you just spoke kind of helps clear up the reality of things, and what you want is sometimes different than what it is.
Yeah. So like, I know that I want to have meaningful, deep relationships. Like, I know that I want to be myself, but who I am as a five is like, yeah, but I don't want those things. I'm like, I don't want to put forth the effort. I don't want to put forth whatever else. So there's always this constant, like, I know that I need these things, but who I am doesn't want me to do those things. Wow. So yeah, it's hard.
So what do you want to leave people with about fives? If there was any one thing that you could help other people walk away from this episode with, what would it be about your number?
Sure. I would say be someone that's willing to put forth the effort to be in their life. Even though it may be annoying, even though that may push them to uncomfortable areas, a five still needs that personal connection. And so if you're willing to put forth the effort to be in a five's life, I think you're going to get a lot more in return, because you'll have someone that's fiercely loyal, fiercely by your side, is good at trivia, and can just be there to help problem solve and get you through difficult areas. And a lot of times can be very wise in what's going on, but you have to be willing to put forth the effort to push yourself in that person's life, because they're not going to always be willing to let you in a lot of ways.
Really good advice. I think I need more fives in my life.
Well, the problem is fives don't need you in their lives.
Right. Well, you just told me I need to push, so.
You got to push. But anyways, I'm busy, so don't contact me.
Okay, Jordan's out.
There's another Jordan that's a five.
Just yeah, work on direction. The other Jordan.
Yeah, go in that direction.
Drag her up to church.
I did just find out that one of my friends is a five. And so now I, you know, it's part of our big group of friends from college. And so there's a lot of us. So I don't necessarily know him as well as others. So now as a three, it's now my mission, of course, to become his best friend. So I'll keep you guys updated on how that goes.
Great.
Good luck.
I know. And for those that have just started out on their Enneagram journey, do you have any advice as they kick this off?
Yeah. Befriend a five and have them research everything for you, and then disseminate the information the best way possible.
That
would be my best piece of advice.
I like it.
But be willing, but just be aware that it's very much like a dump truck, you know? They're going to pick up all this information, and then it's just going to get dumped in your lap. So be careful with that.
So take your time to sort through it.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, and the other part of that, I was kind of joking before, but really, if you're starting the Enneagram journey, like, once you kind of nailed in where your number is and kind of figured out all the nuance and things that you need to know about it, really spend some time researching the other ones, because I think the more we understand how they all work and how they all fit together, I think the better we are, because then we can learn how to communicate with other numbers and learn how to be a part of other numbers' lives and you know, what they really need to succeed. And you can, and the best thing is, if you want to be a helper, you can see where people are and their stresses, and you can help them get on the right path. So the more research and the more willingness you are to learn more about it, the more you can be very helpful in people's lives.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it opens up, and especially as a five, right? It gives you so much data on the people around you who you love that you can now wield to be a better part of their lives, you know, or, you know, get closer to them. The personality typing tools and the self-awareness tools are so good for that sort of thing. And I think the Enneagram speaks to some internal stuff that the others don't really. And so I'm sure that, at least for my five, when I shared the Susan Stabile DVD tapes with her, wow, it just sounded so old. I called something a tape. But
I didn't say DVDs.
I know, I said DVD tape.
Did you get them at the Blockbuster?
No.
Did you get them on the line?
I got them on the line.
Someone on the Facebook told you about it. Okay, sorry.
You went to the World Wide Web and typed in, and figured it out. She used Ask Jeeves to find the
so true, though. Well, so my five is also, at the time, she was a night nurse. I brought the DVDs home and I was like, hey, I found this thing. And she watched like the first 5 minutes of it. And she was like, this is junk, Ashley. And I was like, just hold on. And I fell asleep. We were watching them while late at night, you know, while we're laying on my bed. And I rolled over at like 2:33 in the morning. And she's sitting there with the volume turned down and a notepad, and she's on like DVD 5. And I was like, what are you doing? And she goes, I'm almost done. And I was like, what? Okay. And she literally, which each DVD is supposed to equal like an hour class. And she had like consumed nearly all of them by the time the sun came up and had just stayed up. And I was like, Jordan, this can't be good. And she was like, oh, but I think I figured it out. And I know that I'm a five. And I was like, oh, okay. Yes. I feel that this is now apparent.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Yeah,
I was thinking of something earlier about like, this is a true insight into my brain. You know, we're talking about researching the types of the Enneagram and knowing all the data and information about them.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, yeah, this is going to be great. And I can use it to be very helpful in people's lives. But the other part of it is like, yeah, but like now I can use this information to keep people even further away from me.
Oh, no. I feel like you have like a devil and an angel on your shoulders.
It's kind of like that good Kermit and bad Kermit meme. That's yes. What my brain is like, yes, all the time. I'm like, I can be super helpful and be great, but also I have no even better tools to keep people at an arm's length away.
A double-edged sword, this information.
I have
is.
A double-edged sword, yes. So that's the insight to me right there.
That's hilarious.
Positive, happy Jordan, but also don't touch me.
I just want to go home. Well, as we start to wrap this episode, thanks so much for sharing today. I mean, like, especially because it's not like your favorite thing to share.
Yeah, I didn't sleep last night.
You didn't sleep last night. Well,
I did not.
I'm very thankful for you opening up and sharing this. I think it's really good for all our other sweet fives out there. And for those of you who have been listening, I hope that this time has helped you feel a little more connected and encouraged and enlightened. I know it has been for me. So thanks again, Jordan.
You're so welcome. And if you publish this, I hate you.
We will not be tagging you when we post it up.
Yeah, good. Just bleep out my name.
Right. It'll be redacted.
We'll just change it to Kermit at this time.
That's great.
Thanks for being on with us, Kermit. We appreciate it.
I'm glad to help out.
Oh my gosh. And thanks to you out there listening again and growing along with us. We're so glad to have you with us on this long journey. So until next time, love yourself. love others, and know that God loves you just the way you are. See you soon. Bye.